The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, thank you, Father Ricky, for your welcome. Thanks to the good people of this parish for your welcome to me as I lead with you the parish retreat, concluding talk on Tuesday night, as we consider what it means to be a disciple of Jesus today, to love as he did. And there's no better introduction to that retreat for Tuesday than the gospel we have today, the Beatitudes, which is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And if there was one theme that is woven throughout the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes that begins it all, it is this. It's what we heard last week at Mass with the call of the disciples when Jesus pronounced, "The kingdom of God is at hand." The kingdom of God, the reign of God. That's what the whole Sermon on the Mount is about. So you might ask, what does the kingdom of God mean? What does the reign of God mean? And one way to put it is just simply, the reign of God is God's dream for the world. God's dream for the world. St. Paul described the reign of God in this way. He said it is a community of justice, peace, and love. Justice, peace, and love, which is what God dreams for us and our world. The Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, which begins it all, turns the world upside down, because that's what God's dream for the world does. When you listen carefully to the Beatitudes, that's what Jesus says. It's not the rich and the famous who are blessed. It's those who are overlooked. It's not the powerful and the strong who are blessed. It's the merciful and those who make peace. It's not the winners of the world that are blessed, but the losers, those who are left out. St. Paul says something similar in the second reading, and he makes it very personal because he says, listen to your calling, he says. God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise, and God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly of the world and despised, and those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something. And if this sounds really radical, so different than how we normally look at things and do things in our world, well, my friends, it is. I mean, just think about the gap between rich and poor in our world and in this country. There are people making a lot of money in the stock market, but most people are struggling to buy groceries and to pay for health insurance and for housing. And apparently, being a millionaire is not enough anymore. You have to be a billionaire and even now a trillionaire. Or just think about the cult of celebrity. I mean, you know about it in this town with the Golden Globes and the Academy Awards coming up and the Grammys tonight. The cult of celebrity and glamour and good looks on social media, on TikTok, on Instagram. How honored the glamorous are in our world. How blessed are they. And you think about global affairs right now. The tearing of old alliances. The assertion that in this world now, might makes right, and the powerful nations can do whatever they want, and the other nations just have to deal with it. This is not God's dream for the world. In his world, as much as our own, Jesus turns things upside down. Riches and honors and power, they risk trapping us to become less than who we really are meant to be. And they certainly divide us. Instead, Jesus says, if you want to experience freedom, look at the world from the viewpoint of the overlooked and the forgotten, the left behind and the left over, the stepped on and the stepped over. Learn from them about what is most important and lasting in life. My brother, Jesuit Greg Boyle, who visited here last year, I'm told, talks about not taking the right stand on issues, but standing in the right place on the margins with the poor and the outcast, because that's where we find Jesus. He writes, at the edges, we join the easily despised and the readily left out. We stand with the demonizing so the demonizing will stop. We situate ourselves right next to the disposable, so that one day we will stop throwing people away. You see, in standing in the right place, in a different place, we are changed. And Boyle writes from his experience working with formerly incarcerated people here in LA. He writes, we are sent to the margins not to make a difference, but so that the folks on the margins will make us different. See, that's what solidarity is all about, my friends. And please listen, the call to turn the world upside down is not a summons to replace one powerful person or group with another, because then the patterns of dominance, they just continue on and on and on. What Jesus, I think, is describing is creating a new kind of community in our world and in our church. Pope Leo, echoing Pope Francis, said, would that we had a church of the poor and for the poor. It's what Martin Luther King called the beloved community. We go to the margins so that we can erase them, so that we can stop building this world of insiders and outsiders, of those on top and those on the bottom. And I think that's what was so moving, at least to me, about these images from LA and Chicago, and now it's tragically in Minneapolis, where people are literally standing next to migrants and refugees, literally, no daylight between them. They're just accompanying them, walking with them, standing with them. Because that's what the bishops of the U.S. have called us to be protecting and to be with the most vulnerable. What a beautiful image of solidarity, of this new world that we can imagine. We're all sort of in this together. And if you listen closely to the readings today, Jesus is just not just talking about other people. He's talking about us. At the end of the list of Beatitudes, he turns and he says, blessed are you, me, when people get upset at you for turning the world upside down. St. Paul said, consider your upward calling. See, if you and I live the Beatitudes, we're all there. All of us are there together, forming this amazing beloved community that once we only dreamed of, that we, you and I, are finally realizing God's dream for the world. Amen.